When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Empire.
Hello and welcome to my podcast. Do me a favor, subscribe to the John Kime Report wherever you get your podcast. You're watching on YouTube, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. You can find us there as part of Empire Media, A-M-P-I-R-E. Always much appreciated when you tune in. And don't forget, you can read my work on ESPN.com. In a few minutes, I'm going to be joined by ESPN's Dan Graziano as we go and talk about the Commanders from a national perspective, but also what he's hearing about the team, what he's hearing about the draft picks, the number two picks specifically, and just not just from here, but also from around the league and what people expect. And it's really hard to say because there's a lot we don't know. And I'm here at the owners' meetings, and we just wrapped up an interview or our little press gathering with GM Adam Peters. And I'm going to go over that now before I get to Graz. So, and some of the stuff that we're going to talk about was stuff that we asked Peters about in this little gathering. So a couple of things that stood out. One, as he said, they're far from an answer with the number two pick. You shouldn't expect them to have on March 25th to have their minds absolutely made up. Not when you have as many quarterbacks in this class and as many options as you do with all these quarterbacks. Who, if you stay at two, who's the guy? If you know, is there a situation where you still think you could move up, or does it present itself? And I don't think that's going to be the case. I really don't. However, the point is they're far from an answer with who they're going to pick at two, because there's a lot more to learn about not just Jaden Daniels, but of course Drake May. And then again, if somehow a trade back presented itself, then what does that guy look like that you may be able to go back and get a JJ McCarthy or whomever, and et cetera. Graz and I get into that as well, but this is one thing Peter's talking about. And also his point was, he said, there's only a month left before the draft, but you get a lot of information in that month. And I've told you this before too, from pro days, from the in-house visits, or just the when they visit with them, right? You're getting to learn a lot more about them than you do even at the combine, where it's a short interview process and guys are just dragging, and you know, you can get a feel for them and you get a feel for these players by talking to their teammates, talking to their coaches, but you want to get them with you so that there's, and you want to go to the pro days, and you want, as he said, you want to watch what are the leadership skills like? How are they interacting with teammates, et cetera. So that's all the information you still got to learn, because if it's close, like what if you like one guy, you go somewhere and you see like, oh, you really like him on film, but then you go see some interaction with teammates and it causes, maybe you don't like it, or maybe you do, and that's why you want to, that's why they leapfrog the other guy. It's all those things. So that's why when they say far from an answer, I mean, you know, I think there's a lot of scenarios, but with the quarterbacks, they don't need to make their minds up right now. They just don't. It would be silly to do that, because what if you're convinced that this guy's our guy, period, end of story. And then you find out something later in the process and it changes your mind, or you find out later when it's too late. So that's why you go through the process and then you go from there. The other thing Peter said is it doesn't matter to him. He said if the quarterback has to come in and sit for a year, that's okay, because they feel good with Mariota. And he brought up Jake Fromm, but clearly Mariota would be the guy, and Fromm is the guy who's, you know, would be likely on the practice squad again. Anyway, he said the point is they don't feel like they have to rush anybody into playing just because they took them with the number two pick. And there are some guys in this draft that you would say that may be more ready than others. So, and I'll get into that on future podcasts, but that is definitely the case. And so they don't feel like they have to take a guy just because he's more ready now, and make the guy that's going to be the best decision for you for the long term. The other thing is he was asked about John Allen, and it would, you know, because we know what Allen's comments have been. Everything I've always heard, and I told the club members this recently, but everything I've always heard with Allen is that he likes what he's heard from Dan Quinn and what he's seen and what he's felt when he's been in that building. And the biggest thing for him has always been about is it going in the right direction? And clearly last year, it stopped going in the direction that they hoped it would. And so that's where the frustration really led to. And we know what he's talked about, you know, talked to the junkies about, et cetera. But in for Peters, he was asked about possibility of trading him. And he said, we're not interested in trading him. So there you go. Now that you can take that however you want. I just don't see the scenario. It just, they want to build up the middle. They need guys on this roster who can play. John Allen is one who can play. They already have a lot of picks in the top 100. They don't have to go add another one to rebuild. They've got guys, they've got picks they can work with to do things. So that's one other thing. Also, then he was asked about Jamin Davis's fifth year option, said he and Dan Quinn have not really gone through that, through discussing that. So that still remains open. And it'd be hard to believe that they would pick it up just because they don't know how he's going to perform for them. And he hasn't shown enough in the past years to automatically pick it up. His eyes lit up when he was asked about Frankie Luvu and Bobby Wagner. And hopefully we'll have that a clip for that on here soon for you guys. But he did light up. And I think Luvu was a guy, he said, with Frankie, he just jumps off the tape. And with Wagner, the feeling is that, of course, we all talk about the leadership. Everybody knows about that. But they still feel like he has something left. And I would agree with him. I think he does have something left. Now, as an every down, first team all pro guy, he's not that guy anymore. That's okay. It's still better than what they've had here in a while at that position. And him calling, him being the quarterback of the defense, that's key. The other part, you know, I think I've talked to you about this before, about the need to build up the middle. And that's on both sides of the ball. And that's defensive tackle, linebacker, safety. So I think they feel a lot better about that middle part on the defense right now than they did, certainly when they took over, when they took this ship over. Okay, and let's see. Said he was comfortable if they had to start Cornelius Lucas or Trent Scott at tackle, that they'd be comfortable there. They're still going to go get somebody. I would be shocked if they don't get somebody else. And Lucas has always been best as a swing tackle. But the point is, they like having Scott, they like bringing Lucas back. But I'd be shocked if they don't go out and get a tackle in the draft or however well. But the draft obviously makes the most sense. Also, they signed center Michael Dieter who had played 5 years with the Dolphins, experience starting at left guard and center. So that's, you know, that is clearly they wanted more depth in that and for guys who can be a swing guy inside because you need that too. All right. Well, that's it. That's it for me. And here's my conversation with Dan Graziano from ESPN. Trades, free agents, quarterbacks, and all kinds of adventures await the Commanders this offseason. Looking for an adventure of your own? The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring has you covered. The country's largest ropes course and zipline park, located in Montgomery County, Maryland, is now open. Named Best Amusement Park and Climbing Destination in the DMV 2 years in a row, the Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is perfect for birthdays, corporate outings, groups, and families. With challenges anywhere from beginner to expert, there is something for all skill levels. Anytime you're thinking about reaching new heights, make sure you know before you go. The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is the only ACCT accredited park in Maryland or Virginia. Staying on the ground, give axe throwing a try. You can throw at traditional targets or play any number of interactive games. You can even upload your own image. So there you have it, folks. Climbing, ziplining, axes, food, and bonfires right in your backyard. Reserve your adventure today at www.theadventurepark.com/kime. That's www.theadventurepark.com/kime. Graz, different feeling for Commanders, fans, media, whatever, at the owners' meetings this year because no sale. That right. Stuff is done. A little bit different when you're here. But the whole thing is, where are they at as an organization? And the number two pick, what are they going to do? First, let's start with where they're at. Like, from what you're know this league very well, nationally, all that. What is the perception of what they've done this offseason? Well,
obviously, they've been very active in terms of bringing guys in and you know, new GM, new head coach. I don't think that's very surprising. But I think, you know, some of the additions they've made have been surprisingly you know, I mean, like bringing in Bobby Wagner is going to have an impact beyond just the field, right? And I think that's obviously part of the reason that they did it. So stronger on defense, the kinds of guys that Quinn sort of wants on his defense, you know, he has a vision for that, and you can build that out that way. It's just, it's so much is going to come down to, you know, who's going to be the quarterback and how soon is that player going to be effective for them. But I think in terms of what you can do in a single off season, in terms of infrastructure, I mean, I think they've built it out pretty well.
What's the reaction to when you talk to people about Dan Quinn?
Well, he's well-liked and well-respected around the league. I think people believe Dan Quinn's a good coach. He's a head coach who had success as a head coach in Atlanta, right? Like he wasn't a flame out as a head coach. He went to a Super Bowl. So I think people believe that he's ready, obviously, for a second chance at it. And again, like, I think what you want from your leadership, right, from your GM, from your head coach, and the two of them together is really the ability to articulate and then implement the broader vision for the organization. And it seems like, you know, Adam Peters comes in with a sense of that, and he and Dan Quinn are aligned. And I think, you know, it's a good working structure to build off of. Experienced guys that kind of know what they want and how they want to build it out.
You know this franchise pretty well. Did you ever feel like people thought it was aligned here? I can answer that too.
I mean, yeah, obviously, look, there's been ups and downs, but obviously, yeah, I mean, I think under Ron Rivera, it was pretty clear the power structure was mainly Ron Rivera, right? Like he had a lot of say in what was going on, but obviously under previous ownership, things were chaotic on a level that the new ownership is well aware of and wants to make sure that they're not. So far, so good on that. And I think a lot of their moves this offseason have been perceived as, you know, responsible team building moves, which, you know, sounds pretty basic, but hasn't always been the case.
The bar is low. Yeah. So that's part
it
of
it is.
So when you look, like, some of it is perception of this franchise.
Yes.
How quickly do you think that can change? Do you think it's changed? How much has it changed so far, even around the league when you talk?
So like I look at like the Chicago Bears, right? And we were talking about this on Get Up this morning. And, you know, it's easy to sort of hold the sins of the past against the current administration. But like in a short time, I think that in Chicago, they've kind of shown, you know, an ability to kind of, you know, build it the way they want to. And they finished last season strong, and the head coach comes back kind of a surprise to a lot of people. But I think once you start having some level of success in terms of wins and losses, even if it's in a like a concentrated window like Chicago did in November and December, then all of a sudden you start to think you can view that as progress. So I think if the Commanders, again, I think the range of outcomes is pretty significant here, because we don't know who they're going to have at quarterback and how well that person is going to play right away. So yeah, if you have a stretch or even a season where you feel like, wow, this is really kind of what it's supposed to look like, then I think all of a sudden that perception does start to change. And again, you have two guys in Peters and Quinn that come in with good reputations. So I think that helps as well.
And how much does that help to have? It's basic, but we're talking about a place that hasn't had this. Mm-hmm. How important is it to have those two guys? And the aligned vision is the buzzword this offseason for them. But how important is it to have that? And can you tell, like, when you're
vital? Yeah. I mean, it's everything, right? I mean, if you don't have that, then you have squabbling and you have, you know, people that have the wrong motivations, right? You're putting yourself above the team. And so obviously you don't want that. I think, look, they have a long way to go, right? The NFLPA survey still ranks them at the bottom in a lot of important categories. I think the stadium obviously is something that needs to be addressed, which they obviously well know, and the facilities and all that kind of stuff. So, but you know, if you can start having on-field success, then I think a lot of other stuff gets sort of papered over, especially if you know for a fact that they're working on it.
So the number two pick, mm-hmm. and everybody's trying to know, what are they going to do? And I'm shrugged the shoulders.
Right, I don't know.
I don't know.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, and this is a tight-lipped group. I mean, yeah. What do you hear? Because again,
not much.
Right.
I mean, look, we feel like we're pretty sure now that Caleb Williams is going to go number one to the Bears. Is it 100%? I don't know. I mean, they haven't given him a physical yet, right? Like they're so, but let's assume he does. And all of a sudden, now you're saying, okay, well, is it Jaden Daniels? Is it Drake May? Or is it JJ McCarthy? I don't think so. But I mean, I think it probably comes down to those first two. And then so neither one has had his pro day yet, as you and I stand here talking. You know, so they haven't had the chance to spend that time around them. I think, you know, they're process oriented, right? Yes. Like they want to make sure. And so I think if you are of the belief that you know what they're going to do, I think you're probably kidding yourself, because I'm not sure they have decided what they're going to do yet, because again, they haven't had a chance to spend that kind of quality long-term time with these guys. The Bears went to USC's pro day 2 days early. Right. They spent 3 days with Caleb Williams. They took him and his teammates out to dinner. I mean, they wanted to really see this guy in his element and get to know him very well. And I think Washington, I'm not sure that's the exact plan, but I think they want to do something along those lines with these guys before they decide which one is theirs.
And I think you're right. Process oriented is the key, because through the coaching search, that's the number one thing that we've learned, is how they want to go through each step of the process. Like Raheem Morris was a guy they really liked when he had the Falcons offer. He's like, we still want to finish this process. Right. So I think they're going to do the same thing with quarterback, and you should. I mean, it's important to get to know them.
Well, because this is the most important decision, right? It's a more important decision than head coach and GM and owner, right? Like the on-field success will be determined in large part by how good the quarterback is and how soon he's capable. So you want to make sure you have somebody that represents your franchise the way you want. You want to make sure you have somebody that you feel like is equipped to handle the inevitable ups and downs. You know, it's hard to know for sure, but the point is to find out as much as you can and get as close to certainty as possible. Because, you know, it's that important. It's massive. You're making a major commitment. If you blow it, you're set back for a long time, unless you're the 49ers and you could find the answer at the last pick in the draft. But I wouldn't count on that. I think people want to rush, right? Like the draft is still 4+ weeks away. So, but the teams don't want to rush. And the reason they don't want to rush is because they have to be sure, especially at quarterback, especially at the top of the draft, where we've seen so many guys. Just look back at like the 21 draft, and they're all only Trevor Lawrence could be the only one still on his team.
That's amazing.
Right. And all those guys went top 15. So yeah, it's pretty important.
When you talk to people, how do they gauge, how did the people you talk to get, you know, measure this class as far as like comparing it to some of the other ones to make sure that, because everybody's afraid to, but you got to take one. But how does this class measure up?
I think you have to take one, but there's a caveat. Like if you're not sure,
right?
If you're not all the way sold on the guy, then you do not have to take him, and frankly shouldn't, right? Like we're looking at the Patriots at number three. Like, you know, if they only like two of them and they're both gone, the Patriots should trade back. They need a lot of help. I think that's probably true of Washington, right? Yeah. If they only like one and he's gone, but I don't get the sense. I mean, my guess is they'll come out of this liking at least two of them, enough to pull the trigger there. So, but you're right. Like if you have questions the second pick in a draft is so valuable and you really never want to have it again, right? So like hitting on this pick is important, and you have to be. I remember talking years ago when I covered the Giants to Tom Coughlin and John Mara about like the decision to draft Eli Manning and everything that went into that. And Coughlin told me, he said, the organization has to be completely aligned top to bottom. Everybody has to believe the same stuff about this player. And if that all lines up, then you can feel good about taking him.
And that's the key. Cause like my question with these two quarterbacks, what do you hear about them? Cause I mean, a lot of people that I talk to, if they had to pick between the two of them, it's been Jaden Moore. What do you hear?
Different kind of players. And if you had the conversation last year this time, it wouldn't have been close, right? May would have looked like maybe the number one overall pick. And Daniels wasn't really on the radar at that point. So you have to take that into account, right? Like Daniels had the much better season. Obviously, he won the Heisman Trophy. But like, is that who he is? Is Drake May the guy that he was 2 years ago? And if so, like, does that make him more appealing? What else do we know about them? What is their, you know, where are they in terms of age? What in terms of their physical projection? What have we seen them do? How does it mesh with what we think Cliff Kingsbury is going to be good at? So I think there's a lot for them to ask. And I do think, I mean, you hear a lot of different opinions on these guys. There are teams that would tell you they got May ahead of
Caleb. That's the thing. Exactly. And that's what I say. Like I say that a couple of people might say they would take Jaden, but I know it's not unanimous because it's not, I don't think it's unanimous at this point in this organization, which where they go, which is why we still don't know.
Right. So the thing I was saying about Coughlin, like that's hard to attain. Yeah, right. Yeah. And so obviously, I mean, they ended up with Eli Manning and it's an exceptional case. He won two Super Bowls. He may go to the Hall of Fame. So that's your best case scenario. But you got to get as close to that as possible. And I think Adam Peters, coming from where he's coming from and the organizations he's worked in and all, I feel like he's going to be the kind of guy who's going to do a good job as a consensus builder and ultimately make the decision. I assume it'll be him making the pick, right?
Yes.
Ultimately make the decision based on all of that. you know, he went through it, and obviously it's not a good example, but they went through it in San Francisco a couple of years ago with Trey Lance. And that was obviously a very complicated process with the number three pick. And so Peters had a front and center seat for that when Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch were making those decisions. So I think he has an understanding of what the process is supposed to look like.
Right. And, you know, and the, what do you think the tricky part with Gaines in May is for teams making the decision? Because it seems like if you like this part of his game, you're going to really like this. And you may not like this part of the other guy's game, but it's because it's almost like a Rorschach test sometimes.
Yeah, I think with Daniels, the question is about the build, right? I think, is he too sort of slight and light to kind of hold up long term? I think there's a sense that he could play well. But it's similar, not identical to where we were with Bryce Young a year ago, right? Because with Bryce, it's a height issue. And Jaden doesn't have that. So the question is, like, at his size, will he last? And if you're picking a guy number two overall, you obviously want him to be there a long time. And with May, I think the questions are like, well, what happened this year? Like, everything was looking so good. And why did it not go well? Was it because the talent around him wasn't any good? Was there something that changed about his game? If so, is that something we can fix? So I think, you know, projection wise, May is a guy that teams really, you know, sort of fall in love with in terms of his physical ability and what we've seen him do. And then Daniels is a guy that, you know, may be on the ascent. Like, this, his great year is more recent. So what does that tell us about his trajectory? Is he going to continue to improve like that?
Does the age thing ever come up? Because Jaden's a couple years older.
Yeah, I think it does matter to some teams. I don't know if it matters to Washington. And that's the key question here, because they have that particular pick. But it does matter to some teams, because I think maybe a little less so at quarterback, because their careers are so long, if they're good, or even if they're not, even if you have like a job as a backup for a long time. Like, but I think it can matter, because in general, it can be like, it's almost like the size with Jaden Daniels. It can be a tiebreaker, right? Like if you're like, man, this is tough, but this guy may be more built to last. Maybe we'll lean that way. If you like Daniels a lot better than May, then you're going to be able to overlook that.
And you can also look and say, well, you got more of a sample size from Daniels, so you know more of who we might be able to get to. Whereas with May, like, you're still kind of projecting a little bit.
Definitely. And again, we do see teams draft on projection, even at that position. You know, 2 years ago, the Steelers draft Kenny Pickett, who was an older player and a lot of college experience. And the idea was he could hit the ground running in the NFL. And obviously that didn't last. It didn't work out. It doesn't seem to have been the right decision. So, you know, the older guy, the more experienced guy, that's not necessarily, you know, a benefit. And it can be a detriment, because you can look and say, well, we were drafting more of his prime.
Right. And now the other part is J.J. McCarthy. Mm-hmm. And you hear some people, like, they think he might be overdrafted, but they think he's going to go high. And other people really like him. It's kind of another guy where there's some definite opinions. What do you hear?
It's a very difficult time of year, as you know, to figure out what's true. Right. So, like, you hear a lot of positive things about J.J. McCarthy. Where is it coming from and why? Right. Now, yeah, I mean, people want to say, oh, quarterbacks are going to go 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, maybe. But has it ever happened? No. So, like, I kind of have to believe it when I see it. So I do think McCarthy is a guy teams want to like. The questions about him are around, like, he wasn't asked to do a ton at Michigan for good reasons, right? The team was good. They were, you know, they ran the ball, they played defense. Everything they asked him to do, he did, and he did it well. But the question is, you know, does that scale, right? And especially at the NFL level, he has some size questions as well. So I think he's a guy that through this process, teams are going to have a lot of questions about. I mean, Caleb Williams, we've seen for years, we know what he is. You know, Jaden Daniels, we've seen for years. This was his best year, but he's been around forever. And Drake May has been on the radar for a long time. McCarthy's a guy that, you know, he's got experience playing, but when he plays, he's not asked to do what Caleb Williams is asked to do. So I think teams want to know, sort of, if we're projecting, then what's the right way to do
it? So if let's say Washington wants to trade back and take him, and I don't know that will happen, because we don't know.
Totally hypothetical.
So where do you think, and based on what you know right now, or what you're hearing right now, where do you think the spot was you'd have to probably get to?
I mean, I don't know that you can go back very far. Like, let's say you go back to 6, and I think that might be far-fetched. Would they do a division trade with the Giants?
The only way I could see it is if Minnesota trades up with the Giants and then trades up again.
Sure. And there's a lot of thought. I think, you know, Daniels might be a guy that Minnesota would love to be able to come up and get. Can they? We'll find out. So to go back and get McCarthy, I mean, it's hard to say, because if the the Las Vegas Raiders decide McCarthy is their strong number two choice behind Jaden Daniels, and old Minnesota just jumped us to go get Daniels. Well, now we have to be aggressive to get McCarthy or else Sean Payton's going to take him, right? So, you know, you could have a team that's willing to trade all the way up to four or five. And if that's the case, then, and you've moved back to six,
you're out of luck.
You're out of luck. Although you've also picked up picks, and maybe you can be the team that goes.
And maybe you get like a Penix later in the first round if you want.
Or in the second round. And, you know, Bo Nix is out there that, that some teams like as well. So to me, I think that decision is based entirely on what you decide about the number two pick. Correct. Whoever this, assuming Caleb goes one, whoever you believe is the next best guy, are you sold? And if yes, you got to take him.
If you're sold, you take him. You don't think twice.
Not. Then it doesn't necessarily matter how far back you go, because you're going to be taking somebody at quarterback that you have questions about, and you're going to be sort of punting the decision. I'm not sure that's a great way for Washington to go at this point, given, you know, what else is on their roster. And, you know, I'm sure Dan Quinn doesn't want to wait around for too much of a rebuild either.
No, and I think you're right. If you're sold on Jaden or Drake, you take the guy there and you don't think twice. And when they had the number two pick, when they took Chase Young, I know there was a strong desire to want to trade back, but nobody offered. So
right,
there was
that's the other thing. Yeah. Right. That's the other thing. Like who's coming up and is it worth it?
Right.
Right. Like, I mean, we talk about New England at three, like, yes, they could use a lot of help. They could use the extra picks you'd get from trading back, but what are the offers? Like if nobody wants to come up, if the only guy they were coming up for was Jaden and he's gone, like, you know, all of a sudden the trading back becomes a lot less appealing.
And that's why it back going back then, the only team that offered up was Atlanta, which had the 17th pick, was like, well, you can't do that.
Too far.
So yeah. And they didn't take the other two quarterbacks, because that's a whole nother story. Last thing then, when you look at this, again, cover the NFCs for a long time, this league, did you ever think this team was ever in a position to maybe build something long-term like they are now?
I thought so in 2012, but I didn't know that much about the internal dynamics.
That knowing now, right? And that's true, because with Robert, you thought like the way he looked as a rookie that it would have continued.
It was so exciting. I mean, I was there the night they clinched the division, and they're chanting his name. And I mean, that felt like, and with Mike Shanahan there, like it felt like something that could last. So obviously, we come to find out that there was a lot going on that was
just a little bit
wasn't going to work. But at the time, it definitely felt that way. So look, I think if you're a Commanders fan, what you have right now is you feel like, you know, the adults are in charge and let's give this time to play itself out and let's trust these guys. What choice do you have, honestly? But you also have reason to be optimistic because you're not dealing with what you were dealing with, which is really decades of disappointment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Among other things. So there you go. Dan, thanks a lot, man. My pleasure. Appreciate it. That's it for this episode. Thanks to Dan for joining me, and thank you, as always, for tuning in. I'll be back on Wednesday morning with another episode. I'll talk to you next time.